Good morning. How many of you have been to the Himalayas to see our Vineyard Himalaya people? Put your hand up high, please. Da 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 da. Okay. Doesn't. Okay. Well, for you, and more so for the rest of you, what we want to do this morning is we just want to share what I saw in November. I don't even know how many times I've been there, but it's 20 something anyway. Every year for 25 years, almost. And what we want to do is we just want to completely focus on them today. And at the end, what we're going to do, instead of having ministry time for ourselves, we're going to gather in small groups of two or three, and we're going to pray for them. And then after that, we're going to do communion. So that's kind of the goal of the way we would like to see it drop. Unless, of course, the Lord has something else in mind. Now, I got to try to stay relaxed today. Because every time I get up here, I do get some feedback that I'd get a little bit too excited and a little heavy. But you know what? It's really hard for me to come back from Nepal and not be super over the top. And if you're sitting there and you've never been to a third world country that you've got any kind of relationship with, well, then it's just like, okay, so that's Africa and that's Nepal and that's China or whatever. But this is not the way it lands for me. We got into this whole relationship in a very unique way. It was done through the worship music where David Roos, our founding pastor, had a relationship with Noel Isaac, 25-year-old kid, actually. And they were connecting via guitar and music. And when I saw these guys work together over there in the first years, I want to tell you, it was electric. And we had no trouble getting 500 people into a room or a building or some kind of theater and just unload worship music. And they ate it up. And not only did they eat it up, they started writing their own music in their own language. And they did their own music thing. So what I want to do today is I want to show you a lot of pictures. Maybe I won't explain them all, but we have a handout. Vanessa, are they over there? There are a handout, my notes, plus a bunch of the pictures you can take home, because we're not gonna cover everything in my notes, and you're not gonna soak it all up. But we wanna the primary goal for me personally is to rekindle and to expand our awareness and to build the relationship that we have with him. We're on exactly the other side of the world, 12 hours on the other side. And without them coming here, and we are hoping that Noel and Raju are going to be here in April. We're working on that right now. And of course, the other big thing is for some of you, we're doing the big grand opening of the new church and the hotel that we've rebuilt in November. The dates are all set. There'll be more information on that momentarily. And I'm sure that there's going to be a number of you that are going to want to go over there, and it's going to be a major event in an absolutely beautiful setting. So I just got to tell you, 25 years is a very long time to be in the missions business with the same people. You know, you can shoot in and out of missions opportunities, and then something else comes up. But to live through this whole story from start to today, it's amazing. And what we did in the first 5 years really has no comparison to what's going on today. Because in the first 5 years, we were meeting in elephant sheds, and we were talking to people that we didn't even know if they knew who we were, and we were just waiting for the Holy Spirit to drop. And sometimes it did, sometimes the Holy Spirit came, and a church got started, and other times, we kind of got ourselves kicked out of the area because they didn't connect with what we were doing. So it all started in 95, and Noel Isaac, well, I called him, like, I mean, I was 50-something years old then, and he was 25, like, he was old enough to be almost my grandson, but my kid for sure. And, like, I tell you, this guy was a whippersnapper. Like, he had the kingdom of the God by the tail in terms of his vision for what he wanted to do. His dad and his grandfather were both church planters up in the northern part of India, which flips over top of Bangladesh and is right underneath Bhutan. In fact, they're Bhutanese. Noel is a Bhutanese. He's not Nepalian. He's not Indian. And he had only one desire, to bring Jesus to the lost. And his father, I'll tell you, he had credentials. He had credentials that nobody else that I've ever met in my life had. And when Paul started praying about Lazarus here, I missed it a little bit because I was sidetracked. What he ever said, come forth or something like that. Well, I'll tell you what, this guy came forth. He died. He was dead for about 12, 14 hours, laying on the bed. They just left him there. And after he was dead, they just prayed for him to be risen up because he was still young. And he was so impactful, they just didn't know what to do without him. And guess what happened? He hopped out of bed. Serious. So here I was, about the third trip I went in there. I managed to get time with this guy. And he was about 7 years old already. And I said, Mr. Isaac, I want to hear your story. And you don't take him to Tim's for coffee because he's got no time for Tim's. He's got no time for coffee. He's only got time to go from this place to the next place to the next place. So guess what happened? I got into his Jeep. He was on his way to a meeting. I says, I'm coming along. I had my video camera in the back seat. He's driving, and he's telling me the whole story from whatever he remembers. And I'm not going to go through it all, but the bottom line was, he said, there was no way in the world that I wanted to come back to Earth. Except, these guys kept on praying, and the Lord started moving towards it, and I said, Lord, only one condition, make me twice as effective as I was when I was down there the first time. And that's the deal he made. And that's the deal he got. And he came back, and he was twice as effective. And I want to tell you, like, it is just superly off the charts to talk to somebody who's been there and come back and stuck around for another 20 years, and I wasn't quite 20, 15 years, and then he's gone. But by the time he was gone, his son had taken the mantle. And he was like 40 years old already, or 35, and he was going gangbusters. Now, I'm not trying to build the story up, other than to say it's a dangerous prayer to call Lazarus forth from the grave. But it's a good prayer, because you better be ready. You better be able to handle what you pray for. Seriously. Now, the other thing that drove me back there literally every year, I mean, I didn't have a project going on there with them, nothing. I just went there because I knew when I went there for 2 weeks or 12 days or whatever it was, I would come back so loaded for Kingdom Bearer, I want to tell you. Like, I came so loaded up, it took me a whole year to offload it in my own spirit. Now, what am I talking about here? Well, they have the same gospel, different language, same principles, same Holy Spirit. But you know what? It kind of lands differently over there than it does here. And I was reminded of when I started in the vineyard back in the early 90s, and I read this book by Charles Kraft, who was an American missionary icon guy. He went to Africa for I don't know how many years, and then he came back to his congregation. He said, hey, what we got here is not the same as what they have over there. So what are we going to do about it? Now, I'm not getting into that. But that's the question that lingered like for years and years. What are we going to do about it? And I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about today, and I'm talking about the future. Because it's the same question through your whole life. What are you going to do about it? I'll give you an example. So, of course, I'm looking for stories, right? So I sit down with Noel and I say, okay, Noel, what's your most dramatic story in the last 30 days or whatever it was? He says, well, how about the wife of one of our parishioners who lives in Goatkhan, and you guys know where Goatkhan is. It's up on the hill above Kathmandu. You go up there and you can see the whole valley, man. I want to tell you, it's just spectacular. And this guy was healed from something. I can't remember what it was. But his wife was demon-possessed. And he'd go to work in Kathmandu, and then he'd get a phone call. Of course, everybody gets a phone call over there because they all have phones, okay? And guess what the phone call was? Your wife's running around, almost no clothes on, in Goatkhan, manifesting. So he'd have to go there, and he'd have to go get it all settled down again. It went on and on and on. Finally, it came to the point where Noel and the church and him and the whole... And there's a church up there, so... It wasn't like a village that didn't know anything about Jesus. They knew the whole, they knew it. They started praying for her and she got delivered. The demon was exorcised out and in the power of the Spirit, and she was healed. Fast forward to the Saturday I was speaking. She's there in the meeting, and her two sisters are there. So wife and husband are Christian, are believers. The two sisters are there. They're not believers. But they're there for you know why. They want to see what's going on. They want to know what's this all about. I mean, I want to tell you, there are so many people coming into that church through the gate wondering, like, what's different about, why are these people different? We're talking like 400 or 500 at a crack or more. And we're talking about multiple thousands in the 28 churches that they have throughout the region. And I didn't get to meet them. And I'm really sorry for myself now that I didn't, but I will next time. They'll be there. And these two ladies were looking for the peace of Jesus that had rested on their sister. Now, that's the general story of the people that come there. Those who do not believe, like on any given Sunday, there's a multitude of people in that room of 400 or 500 people that don't believe. In fact, you won't believe this either. They check everybody at the door. What are they doing? They're checking at the door for troublemakers. And so they say, okay, you're welcome to come. They know how to do it. I never watched them do this. They know how to sort them out. You're welcome here. You're welcome. You're welcome here. But don't come to change us. You come here to get changed by the power of Jesus. And if you're not comfortable with this, you know what? Go for coffee across the street. And they're bold. I'm going to tell you, they're unabashed about who they let into their church. So here we had, you know, I'm speaking, and I don't want to get into too much because I had the most absolute fantastic Saturday sharing time with them. Okay, I'll show some pictures right away. Throw the first bunch of pictures up. And I'm speaking to the believers, and I'm saying, you know what, you guys, you've got something here that nobody else has in the Himalayas. You've got the newest, purest, whitest temple in the region. I mean, and you want to talk temples? As soon as temples are mentioned, temples, you know, these temples, their temples are all kind of hanging by what I call asherah poles because they're all falling down and they're holding them up because of the earthquake. They haven't got money. They send all their money. The Hindu church sends all their money to India, so they have no money in Nepal, so they haven't even got any money to fix their church, their temples up. So they prop them up with these telephone poles. There's every church, every temple has at least a dozen telephone poles all the way around it. This one doesn't have any telephone poles. this one will withstand earthquakes. And I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to them about a lot of things, yada, yada. And then I get to talking to, and by the way, if you're here and you don't, and this is all being interpreted, if you don't understand what we're talking about, let's talk about that a little bit, okay? So then we start talking about the gospel a little bit. And then we start talking about it a lot. And before it's all over, okay, now listen. This is not me blowing my horn. This is blowing the Holy Spirit's horn. 500 people packed into this room. I've done this many times, and they have their drill. As soon as you say ministry time is open, 50 people come to the front. All the grannies come. Okay, they all come. They all line up there, you know. And then there's a few people at the back. Okay. Well, this time, we basically emptied the pews, or the Spirit emptied the pews. It was phenomenal, and I did was run around and anoint people with oil in their head. That's all I could do. Watch them guys do the prayer and all the rest of it, whatever was going on. And then they had a baptism after that yet. 10 adults. We're not talking kids. Adults. They all got up there and they hopped into the tank, you know, and not in front of the church, in the back there. They do it sort of in the back. And it was just, oh, man, I'll tell you. It was the heaviest Sunday or Saturday that I've had in my life for a long time. It was just brilliant. Anyway. Let's have a look at the pictures. This is Noel and Donna Isaac. And you see where they're sitting. They're sitting on the terrace of the hotel, the top floor, the fourth floor. And this is their patio. This is their meeting place for their team. And that's Kathmandu in the background. Okay, keep rolling it, and I'll just pick it up. Okay, I'll get back to this one. This is a sewing machine. I'll tell you about that later. Oh, well, then we better talk about the sewing machine right now. The sewing machines are a tailoring school that these folks do for ladies in the community. Well, in the whole region, okay? They've done, I think, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them. 10 at a time. No, it's more than that. And it's all funded by Nepali Women's Co-op money from here, from the craft sale. And this is 10 people. 5 of them are believers. 5 of them are non-believers. And this room is in the riverbed. We have the nicest room in the riverbed for ministry center. All the other rooms are shacks, cardboard, paper, metal, tires, whatever. And we do all the ministry in the room. They never go into the houses because that's called proselytizing. That's when they get into trouble with the government. If you want to connect, you come to the ministry center. If you want to connect, you come to the church. We don't go into the houses there because it's too dicey with them, the government understanding what you're doing. So we never give them any reason to say, oh, why are you here? Well, they're here. They're in the room because this is our ministry center. They come for need. So they come. And by the way, at the end of the sewing session, these girls can all sew. They can become like seamstresses. I mean, not top quality, I suppose, whatever. Some of them might be. And they go to their village or they go to their place and they open up a business. That's an $80 machine. It's a treadle machine. It's a Singer machine. Is it a Singer machine? Whatever. It's like one anyway. And they'll tell you it's great. Just keep rolling it, okay? And these girls are intent. This is, huh? Yeah, they get to take the machine home. It's theirs. Okay, that's the gift. You learn, you get through the however long it takes, and you pass the whatever course, and you get to keep the machine. This is Donna again with the lady who does the training. Okay, so that's a part of the whole cost of the course. Keep going. Okay. Now, how does Nepali Women's Co-op get their money? Well, we meaning Noel, myself, whoever else is there. You've been there, Elisa. And we go to Mr. Sharia's shop in Tamil, one of thousands of shops. Like we could go to, there's 100 of those shops. But we found this guy, and this is his scarf shop, okay? And we pick, and then we put into bags, big bags. Like we look like hockey players when we come out of there, okay? And I bring back 2 bags at a time, and then the next group is going to bring back more bags, so that Deborah has enough inventory to sell a $5 scarf, Canadian, for $40. And that's a hot deal here. Okay, keep rolling. This is actually, I'll come back to this one here. Just keep going. Oh, there's the bags. They're going on the plane. Keep going. Okay, so this is the rooftop staff meeting. You know, it's a funny story here. I got to tell you this real quick. Well, when I was in business, I went to Vancouver, and I met a competitor. And guess where his office was? On the rooftop of a building right on right on the bay there, right where all the planes come in and everything. I said, you know, someday I'm going to have an office like this. But it never did happen because I could never find enough water here in Winnipeg to do it, okay? But guess what? This is amazing. Staff meeting. This is a Monday morning from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Keep going. All right. So what are we doing here? You know what? I'm going to stop it right there. Throw up the next bunch of pictures, okay? Just want to see where we're going here. I'll get back to the buildings, okay? Can you do that, Sean? Okay, while you're doing that, don't get sidetracked by the buildings. So what I want to just point out to you very quickly is this. The Vineyard Himalaya Church is a vineyard church, believes in everything that we believe in. The values are there. The values of mercy and compassion are also a very big draw, because we have people that come to this church that don't have enough money to live or to come by bus. So we actually have a bus fund. The people need bus fare. We give them bus fare so they can come to church. But the one thing that they have, I think, pretty together, well, I know they have it together, is Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in the heaven and the earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And they're baptizing where you don't do it on the street. You don't do it even in the church. You do it behind the church. Yeah, it has to be hidden. So it doesn't look like you're doing something Christian. Okay? So what it boils down to is, and now this is, I don't have time to get into this, but I'm just going to mention it because it's really super important for me, and I think it's super important for the church. They have an unadulterated gospel, simple gospel, very simple. And it's the gospel that is based on believing in Jesus. And they preach that every Sunday loud and clear. And the people know it. They come there. That's what they come for. They come to hear it and to support it and to help those that are sitting next to them in the pews that don't believe it. Because you don't grow from zero to, I would say, pretty close to 10,000 people, give or take, in 25 years without preaching a straight line that everybody will understand and everybody can connect with through the Holy Spirit. Very, very important. The other thing, and I mentioned it before, but I'm going to say it again. This whole business about deliverance for the demons, I'm not pushing a value here to start something we don't do. We know how to do this, but you only do as much of it as you believe in. Or are comfortable in. And all I'm going to say is we have to get more comfortable about this because this is a serious problem. You know what Noel said to me once? He said, I'd rather have my demons than yours. So what does that mean? I said, you're telling me you want all those demons that you're floating around with than the ones that we have? He says, yeah. I said, why? Because I know where they are and I know who they are and I know what to do about it. The demons you guys are dealing with over here in the Western world are all kind of, you know, where are we? Where are we? You know, well, is that a demon? No. Well, we're not sure. So I'm not trying to be graphic or dramatic here, but I want to tell you, we have to think about this. Going forward, our missional approach to church has to include some form of supernatural deliverance. Period. Yes? Amen? Okay, I'm hearing you. I'll hold you to it. So the bottom line is, the simple gospel is this for them. Pure truth, without complications or interpretational override. They know the message. They know the methods. They know the market. Sounds business-ish, but you know what? I love it. If you know the gospel market, you're going to have to know what to do with it. And they follow the master, and they go wherever he goes. They'll go to the top of the mountain to deliver somebody. They'll go there, whatever, whatever, and that's only one story. So we've got all these people here. I'm looking for the one where there's a picture of all the people in the room. What do you got there? Show me your pictures. All right. Okay, here we're getting close. Here's the baptism. I want to tell you, there was a lot of sloshing water going on. They filled that tank up almost to the top, and there was almost no water left at the end of the day. These guys just, you know, some of them didn't know what was going to happen. They thought they all were going to drown right there. Okay, so I'm not making fun, but they were, and they all gave a little testimony at the beginning, real quick. It was really good. Okay, keep going. All right, here's the church service. Now, I want to tell you, this is dramatic because they still use the same old benches, the wooden benches that they've had since day one, and they're all scooched together. There's nobody sitting on the floor with their legs crossed. They're all scooched together in these benches, okay? And it's so comfortable, man. Just amazing. Okay, keep going. Oh, yeah, this was after the invitation. I thought I'd throw that in. Keep going. All right, so after the service, in this particular service, Vineyard Winnipeg treats them to a lunch. So this time we did chicken, I think. And this is on the second floor now of the building. We'll go through the building right away. The ladies, this is the church. The leaders are serving the food. Keep going, next picture. Long lineup, which we don't believe in, but they do. So that's okay. Keep going. More food. Oh, I'm going to tell you, this food is good. I'll tell you what's good about it. It's really spicy. I don't like the chicken legs, but I do like the spicy, I'll tell you. Keep going. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? This is a family. These people have been here since day one. The lady here on the right-hand side, I'm going to tell you, the minute I see she comes up to me, she gives me a hug, I figure I'm never going to get out of the grip. Okay? And then there's her daughter and her... I think it's the father and the mother. I'm not sure if it's the girl or the lady, the man or the lady who's... And then the boys at the back. Okay? And the guy in the back, hey, Paul, you know this guy. He processes your all your stuff in Kathmandu. He works for the guys who you send the work to. All right? So I asked him, you know what I asked him? Are you making enough money? And you know what he said? He says, I'm okay. And you know what? They are okay. I've noticed over the last dozen years that their economic vibe is like this. It's going up, really. It's not like they're all coming to church. I mean, and you should see their clothing. It's just fantastic. So I just check a note on you that you're not underselling this guy. Okay? Just threw that in, Paul. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, by the way, you won't believe this. It took me 5 years to take this picture. Those are the Himalayan mountains back there. Every time I go, it's always cloudy and gray. I saw the Himalayan mountains for the first time in 5 years because I never go up into the mountains. I just don't have time to do that, and I don't have the stamina. Okay, keep going. Okay, this is a leader meeting. I'm going to tell you a little more about the leader meeting shortly, okay? We got together right at the end and had a little send-off supper. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me see where am I here. Let's talk about leadership. I got to tell you that not only was the Saturday meeting I had with all these hundreds of people off the charts, but even the next day, no, 2 days later, Monday morning, leaders meeting. What do I say to the leaders? Well, here's what I had said to the people. I said, look, folks, I only want to talk to you about, this is the meeting on Saturday. I only want to talk about two things. I want to talk about you personally, your values as a believer, what are you believing in? Do you believe in purity? Do you believe in intimacy with God, all these kind of things. So just ask the question. And then I said, remember the scripture. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to defile your temple, and I wasn't coming down on him, I was just making the perspective. If you're coming, if you're not looking after your temple spiritually the way God wants you to look after it, you're in trouble for yourself. And then you're in trouble with the Lord too. And then I moved over to the real temple, or the temple of stone. Okay? And I said, now, you're sitting in a brand new temple. I told you that before. It was like I pushed that a lot. I mean, this has got to be the only temple that's got a granite staircase going up into the front door. Granite staircase. You know why? Because granite is cheap over there. Comes right out of the mountains, and it doesn't have to be shipped overseas. Everything you buy in Canada came from overseas. Everything you do in Kathmandu came from 100 miles away in the mountains. Granite staircase, I want to tell you. Like, I was sitting there, and I said, you know what? This feels like the temple in the Old Testament, okay? Oh, wait a minute. The temple in the Old Testament had partitions. It had the common place, then it had sort of the intermediate place, and then behind was the holy place. I said, you know what? No, how come we don't have that here? No, we don't do that, do we? No, okay. But let's make the whole temple holy, I said. And then they were having communion. And I said, you know what? What is communion? Anyway, I want to sidetrack here for a minute. What's communion? Well, communion is when you come before the Lord and you sort of confess and you do whatever you have to do to get clear with the Lord, and then you take communion. You remember him. I said, you know what, Noel? I think we should consider doing communion out on the front step before the people come into the church. Let's purify the people before they come into the church, or let the people get purified and then come into the holy temple. Then the whole temple is holy. Maybe a stupid idea, but a thought. Point being, it's for us too. When you walk in the door, do you think of this place as a temple? No, it's an old industrial building. Bricks, you know, pipes, sewer pipes, trickle, 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 right? Okay. This is a temple. And it's the same principle for them as it is for you, or us. So we should remember that. Okay, so we have this meeting. So I'm talking to them about leadership. And I'm saying, what am I going to tell them about leadership? What do I know about leadership that they don't know? Well, I'll tell you one thing. These are very common folk. They are the absolutely just, over the years, it hasn't changed. It's the same people over and over again. Me Too Didi, who, by the way, I'll show you a picture of her. She's the only person in the world that I know is looking younger as she grows older, okay? You know why? Because when she came to the church, she came because the old man beat her up so bad, she just ran with her family, ran. And she looked so bad in the first years. She looked like she was 75 years old and she was only 50. Now, she's 80-something. No, she's not 80. She's 70 years old and she looks like she's 60. So I'll get the picture of her right away. All right, so we have this meeting and I say, so what are we doing in leadership? What are we going to do? Well, I only know one thing. We can't stay in the same place. So let's agree that we're going to move from today to next year at this time, that there's going to be a noticeable upward curve of your anointing as a leader. And I don't want to get into the whole anointing story here, but I want to tell you, I pushed the whole anointing of leadership real hard here. They're anointed of God. They're the leaders. It's not just Noel and his wife. They're the leaders. There's 30 groups of leaders like this in the Himalaya churches, 30 of them. And there's no way that Noel can keep track of these guys, you know, just like check, 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 check. No, there's only one keeping track, and that's the Holy Spirit and the Lord and looking after them. And how do you do it? There's a verse in Scripture, and I've got to find it here now, that says you don't even need to be taught. The Holy Spirit will teach you your anointing. I'm lost in my notes here a little bit. Oh, yeah, here they are. 1 John 2:20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. As the anointing teaches you about all things, remain in him. 1 John. So we started talking about that. And I said, what is your plan to stay on the track of righteousness, number one? I mean, I don't have to tell you why I was talking about that. And purity and all those other things that the Lord expects from you as a leader. So we made a little covenant. It says, you're not accountable to me, but I'm going to be asking a question in November 20th. How are we doing, folks? What happened? What's different? And I'll tell you, this guy who drives around in the truck, Sonam, he's the one guy that looked like he had just blitzed from 0 to 60 miles an hour in short order. I mean, he was a truck driver, but I'll tell you, he was just doing stuff. Like, and that wasn't about praying for people. You know, he doesn't do that. He's on the side. But he just knew how to organize people and how to bring them forward and to work with them. And then, like, this guy, I thought he never had a voice. Now he's got a mission. So that's just an example. Okay, so that was the words of encouragement. Keep going on the pictures. I didn't want to get sidetracked here. Oh, here's the marble, here's the granite staircase. They had just put it in. You can see the scaffold. They hadn't even covered it up yet because they kept it closed up at night so that the water it would be moist. It was just beautiful. You put this in your house. That's what you'd put it anywhere. But he put it in the church. Okay, keep going. Oh, okay, let's go back to the riverbed. Now, the riverbed is a community, you know what? It's a squatter community. There's probably, I would say, 20,000 people live in here over a 10-mile stretch, right on the river. In fact, they're so close to the river that now the government, between the river and where they built their houses, has put a dike. Guess what the dike is? Garbage. Can you believe it? Garbage. A garbage dike for 10 kilometers, right outside your front door. And so what did the vineyard do? They said, look, we know what they need. There's no running water here. There's no drinking water. So at least we're going to do drinking water. So they supplied these tanks. And they supplied the drinking water for it. And I want to tell you, it's right next door to the ministry center. Talk about a draw. Okay? They're overrun. Like, it's way too small, but it's just perfect for them. Okay, let's keep going. This is the main street of the thing. Now, what these are, some of these people have actually built brick houses down there. Not all of them. I took some pictures. But this is kind of the main drag right here. Okay, right in front of the ministry center. Next one. This is a side street. Imagine living on a side street like this. This is all crap and garbage and junk that people don't know what to do with. Throw it in the street. Down the ditch. Keep going. Oh, this is a 7-Eleven. You want some salt? Get your potato chips right here. They got lots of potato chips. Here's the garbage. The dike. I took it on the way out. It just bugged me so bad. I just had to take one picture of it. Keep going. Okay. Well, this is me speaking on Saturday, and of course my dear wife, who can't go there anymore. She's looking over my shoulder. No, that's not the way I should put it. She's watching my back. And she's there. And you know what? When I did that, they all cheered. Amazing. Okay, keep going. Okay, this is that meeting again with in the house there, Sonam on the left side, Raju on the right, and the two wives. Oh, Urmila, those of you who get all those emails from, who gets emails from Urmila? Does anybody get emails from Marilla? Well, yeah, the leaders. And she's just off the charts. Yeah, keep going. Oh, this is last year. Sorry, this is last. This is the opening of the grand opening. This is the informal grand opening of the hotel. I come there last year, and we had the room done upstairs already. And guess who's there? The grannies. I don't know if you can zero in. I guess you can't. But all those people on the right-hand side there, they're all the grannies. So these are the dignitaries. The church dignitaries are the grannies. I'll tell you, I was blown away. I just couldn't believe it. We had the cake, then it was a ribbon cutting. It was lots of fun. It was a blast. Okay, keep going. Nothing else? Hey, any questions? I'm going to wind it down. I want to tell you about the... let's go back to the pictures of the hotel, okay? I got to tell you about that. I can't miss that. And everything else is probably secondary. So what do? We're building the hotel, and we're building the church, the hotel, instead of the apartment block. The hotel is going to be a major Enterprise. Okay, here, just real quick, this is serving food in the ministry center. Keep going. This is the picture of B2DD I want to show. Keep going. Yeah, they're putting it into small bags. Keep going. That's Ermila ministering to one of the ladies. Okay, there's B2DD. Now, I want to tell you, even from the side, she looks younger. Like, she was just completely wrinkled and damaged, for sure. But she is the most aggressive ministry person I've ever met. She has it figured out before you even look at her, what's wrong with you or what you need prayer for. Serious. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Okay, there you go. That's good. That's good. Good. Endorsement. Keep going. More ministry. Keep going. Are we okay? Keep going. What happened to the buildings? Can you get me the buildings real quick? There we go. Okay. So this is the church. Now, I'll tell you. 2 years ago, when we started talking about this, and I had to go, we had to go and find a, we found an architect. Who's the architect here? Who's the architect? Is there an architect here? Just about. Not quite. Anyway, engineer. I had to find an engineer too. He gave us a drawing. It looked terrible. We said, go somewhere else. We went across the street. The guy was building a building. We said, who's your architect? And who's your engineer? And who's your contractor? And in 1 hour, we had all three of them labeled. We visited him. Noel cut a deal with all three guys in about a 24-hour period. And this is, look, go back. Go back to the next first picture. Now, look at this design. I mean, you know, this maybe doesn't mean anything to you, but they meet in the bottom. There's a staircase, by the way. They meet in the bottom. Actually, the sanctuary is below level for noise suppression. The first level up is the social area for overflow and for food. The third level, okay, is the boys' area, and the fourth level is the girls' area. Okay, and I have another picture of that. But I'll tell you, like, look at those. Maybe this doesn't mean anything to you, but it does to me. The way the window casings are coming out. Okay, I don't know what to call them. It's just the design was just off the charts. Okay, go over to the next picture. This is the hotel, four stories, and we threw in a half a story at the top at the end. We figured incrementally it wouldn't cost us that much, and it didn't, and it was the first. That's the only part that's finished right now. 26 rooms, and the space at the bottom beside the truck is going to be the reception area, but right now it's still full of building material. But we're 2.5 months away from finishing. In fact, the Vineyard is going to have, or the Father Heart is going to have their conference there in March. So there's a little bit of a timeline jam here now. So two buildings. This is not the final color, by the way. It's going to be, this is not Nepali color. In fact, go back to the first picture. So it's the casing around the front window on the left. That's starting to be the final color. Okay, keep rolling there, Sean. Keep going. What else you got? Okay, so this is my favorite picture. The top floor is the girls' floor. Now look what they've got. They've got a patio on the right-hand side going all the way around the back. The boys' floor below is a patio for them, goes all the way around. Actually, that's going to be a kind of, for the boys' floor is not as secure as the girls' floor. And that's going to be a meeting area for bigger crowds. Like, we're going to have conferences here. Yes? Okay, yes, sorry. So for years and years, they've been rescuing girls from the villages who are at risk of trafficking, okay? And they've been bringing in. Now, that picture that I told you with the guy with the yellow thing, he just got married, and he's one of the boys that's been there since day one. I think his name is Nabeen. Robin? Yeah, Robin, yeah. And just got married. So here you go. From, like, how old was this guy when he started? Probably 8 or 9, 10 maybe, give or take. Now he's 20, 21, 22, and he got married. And so the girls' floor is like for the girls, and the boys, it's the same thing. And the only way that they can stay is they got to finish their education. And we help fund that educational situation, which isn't insignificant. Okay, next picture. Just This is the, okay, this is the going to be the reception area eventually. There'll be a fence right around. Oh, I've just got to show you this for you guys in the construction business. This is the kitchen. Every room will have a kitchen, a bathroom, internet, no TV, bring your own machine, and it'll be a Western quality, probably 3 to 4 star, 3 star, that's for sure. So sink, and they built it all themselves. Saved a lot of money that way. Okay, keep going. Here's the washroom. You got a shower, you got a toilet, you got a sink, and solar water, hot water. Tell you, I burnt myself the first time I jumped into that tub. Okay, this is the bed, one of the rooms finished off. Okay, winding it down. All right, so the rest of the pictures that aren't here, you can have a look at over there. So here's what we want to do. We want to bless the Lord for the vibrancy of this whole Vineyard Himalaya kingdom impact. That's what we want to pray for. And anything else that you picked up out of the pictures that you comes to you and say, hey, I want to pray for that too. So why don't we do that? Why don't we ask the Holy Spirit to bless them and impact their ministry for the years to come. So, Lord, I just ask for your blessing. I ask for the time that you give us in this moment to bless the prayers and the impact of your Spirit power. In Jesus' name, amen.